His name is Malik Zulu Shabazz. Malik Zulu Shabazz.
It is indeed my honor and great joy and privilege to be invited by brother and Dr. Malik Zulu Shabazz, who is one of the greatest student leaders of all time.
I'm talking about terrorism now. We want a war on terrorism. The war on terrorism should have started 400 years ago. Bring the flag, brother. Bring the flag.
Bring the flag.
Bring. Because I'm here to tell you that false patriotism will not get you out of this.
Right.
Holding a bandana flag around your head will not get you out of this. Huh? Flag on your antenna in your car will not get you out of this. You might be saying, God bless America.
Right.
But when did America ever bless God?
Right. Right.
You might be saying, God bless America. But God might be damning America
right.
at this very hour.
What's all this shit I see on here about harassment and all that bullshit, rap for power? You sumbitches, get out and get a goddamn job and make a constructive citizen out of yourself and stop all this bullshit. You wouldn't have to have no fucking rally for power. You got that message, motherfucker?
Black Power, Black Power. I want to welcome everybody on to the Black Power Hour radio show. I'm Sister Amira, the National Assistant of the New Black Panther Party, and I have here my co-host, Sister Sylvia. We are definitely coming on to you all to talk to you about definitely educating our children, educating our families. We're going to talk about education of relationships, which are just as important as educating our children, because we need more of that within our homes. We need to think more communally, because I know for so long we've thought idealistically, which is not necessarily going to work for us at this stage in the way the economy is. And we're not individuals anymore because we have neighbors who are practically family. So we have to begin thinking on those terms. And as well, I would like to thank all of our ancestors, such as Dr. Khaled, who have definitely, done so much for us within this black nation, not just in the New Black Panther Party, not just in the Nation of Islam, but just, all over this world. You know, he's done so much for us. And also thanking our national chairman, Malik Zulu Shabazz, I would also like to give a shout-out. Without him, this organization probably would have crumbled. So I'm definitely thankful for him as well and being my advisor on a lot of different things and teaching and becoming my instructor. So I definitely love to work with him, and I definitely him being a great person that he is and a great inspirational leader. Also, I would like to thank the national spokesman, my comrade, as well as a very good person to me, as well as thanking the Minister of Protocols, as well as thanking all of the ancestors, such as I have to definitely mention Queen Harriet Tubman, not just the ancestors alive and dead, passed away during that spiritual transition. But we have to talk about the ones that are alive now, because we definitely want to have their roles now in their hand and show appreciation for them and the good works that they've done and the struggle that they have put on and the lessons they have left for us. So I would like to thank everybody on the National Central Committee who puts in work, such as our National Field Marshal King Samir. I would also like to thank just so many more people, Sister Ayera, which is really very well working hard on the Day of Action Project and on sending clothes to Senegal. I would like to thank her, and I would like to thank Sister Lady Freedom for her agriculture aspect to our movement and as well to the nation. And who else? I need to thank so many. So many people that I can really name. If I miss you this show, I would definitely include you in the next show. Oh, Sister Sheena, I would like to thank her as well, and Sister Matie, and all the hard work that she's doing with the Sisters Movement, as well as Sister Keisha within the New Black Panther Party. Maati, I would like to thank her as well. Sorry about that. At any rate, I want to continue on. We're bringing on Sister Sylvia, which is very, very important because she, after all, is the co-host. She's going to start doing these intros, by the way. So we have 757-208. You're welcome on Black Power Radio. Come on, Queen.
Black Power, peace, sister. I do have to tell you, I was wrong. It wasn't 15, it was like 25.
Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am.
How you doing this day, sister?
Sister, I'm just steadily, as they say, breathing. I'm breathing. I'm just really trying to, you know, try to obtain freedom. You know, I used to say, you know, I used to tell, you know, my people used to ask me, well, what? How do you feel today? I'm like, I'm just waiting to be walking up from to be free. You know,
right.
So I guess at this stage of the game, I'm trying to push to be free. So, you know, I guess that's how I'm doing.
Okay. Well, we can't do anything but strive daily to get
exactly.
there.
What's
but you know what? I am excited about this topic tonight because it's long awaiting.
Oh, it is. Just, we've been talking about this for like a month or so.
Right. So I almost couldn't sleep last night waiting for this moment. So I'm going to go ahead and get it started because, you know, time is of the essence. But
That's true.
I would like to introduce our guests for this night. Now, these particular people that I'm about to introduce, I love them dearly. I spend some time with them, and I have a lot to learn from them. And they're both carry a lot of knowledge. So I would like to introduce Sister Drea from the House of Consciousness in Norfolk, PA. As well as Brother Righteous, and he's from Mecca Entertainment. And he also just started a social network called TranslateSound.com. And whenever you all get a chance, check it out. It's real nice. And definitely it's something that we needed. I think Brother Sean brought this up last week. It's time for us to have our own. And that's definitely going in the right direction.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Okay. You ready to pull them up, sister?
Yes, ma'am. I'm ready when you are. Which one do you want to bring on, Queen?
You know what? Let's go ahead and start with Brother Righteous.
Okay. Get the brother out the way, boy. All right, now. This is Sister Night, brother, so don't. We're going to bring you on, so tell the truth, but don't be too hard on the sisters. Let's bring in our brother. 757-553-46. You're on Black Power Radio, Brother Righteous.
Peace. How y'all doing today?
Peace, brother. How you doing?
I'm all right. I'm just waiting to get things popping, you know. You know? Y'all don't beat me up too bad talking about me beating y'all up, you know. Know how y'all sisters can be at times, but it's all good. Peace to the
exactly.
sisters. Peace to the queens.
Okay, so how are you doing today, Brother Righteous?
All is well, you know, living, surviving, you know, just doing what I do, you know, trying to build, you know, TranslateSound.com, but membership base, you know, still working, still, you know, building with whatever community come before me. That's about it.
Okay.
We're gonna start letting in these questions on you before you begin, brother. Just a quick question, though. Not too many because we want you to talk, but we want to ask you a couple of questions just to, you know, tell everybody about your expertise in this because we know that you're not a brother to just be on here talking because we don't invite people to just be on here talking without the expertise. So if you could kind of go into detail about, you know, some of your expertise and how you were able to come about this relationship thing?
Actually, I'm the type of person, you know, I've been through a lot of relationships in life, you know. Had my ups and downs. Some of it was my fault, you know. Some of it was, you know, their fault, and some of it was just circumstances in life. I'm actually a manager for a restaurant right now. It enables me to sit back and talk to diverse groups of people. Also, you know, I actually ask these questions to my employees every day, you know, different questions relating to male-female relations. And just so happen, most of my staff is black, so I'm able to get it from a black male and female viewpoint. I also worked at a Boys and Girls Club that gave me the training and diversity training to be able to deal with, you know, to deal with children, different types of children, of different types of backgrounds, and I was able to actually take that into the adult world.
Well, you sound like an expert to me. You sound like you know what you're talking about. Hopefully, we'll see.
All right, Brother Rankin. Well, I'm about to go ahead and cut in now. Tell me, and this is a question that you and I have had discussed many, many times, but for those who's listening, tell me what you believe the issue is between the black man and the black woman.
The major issue that I see is, number one, not knowing the roles that each one of us play within a relationship. And also, I've noticed that females nowadays have a problem with the word submission. The word submission has become an evil word when it comes to women, because they tend to think that, you know, by you being submissive, that you are doormat to a man. And it's not necessarily true. So the submission is knowing what is right when a male tells you, whether a male or a female actually tells you something, and if it's right, go along with it. Don't fight it because it is a male or is another person that's telling you to do it. And that is one of the major issues. And the second issue is we don't listen to each other. Sometimes males and females give each other hints of what they like and what they dislike, and we don't listen to it because what we're trying to do is we're trying to change them to what we want them to be. And a lot of times that is the issue. You know, we just, you know, try to change people instead of just saying, okay, this is how I view the world. Maybe, you know, you maybe want to look at it in this type of way, you know, just for a moment, you know, not to change you, but just to give you another viewpoint. But people nowadays do not want to change themselves, and also they have a problem with people actually changing them. So, that is
okay. Okay, so you know, I believe that they say it's like it's one black male for every seven women. I'm not sure if those numbers are correct, but it's somewhere around there. Because a lot of our brothers are incarcerated, or they're gay, or, you know, they're with the white women. So one of my purposes is to asking this question is I want to understand from your perspective or your point of view why we don't keep our men in our community when they're going off with, you know, these white women.
A lot of the issues that men tend to have with women is, I heard something coined the angry black woman syndrome. A lot of times what happened to women is they have gone through things in life, and they bring that baggage into the present relationship, in which most men do not like. Not saying that men have not played a part in women being the way that they are, but however, if one man has done something to you, don't beat me up over it because I didn't do it. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying don't use that as a catalyst in order to be able to gauge a man, but don't beat me up before you get to know me. That is what I see.
Okay, so you said, and you and I spoke of this earlier, that what was it, the angry black women syndrome?
Yes.
Which I think I am affected. I ain't even going to lie.
Yeah, you were.
I'm angry. And I'm a black woman. So I kind
of...
Well, we should be angry in the
mirror. I helped you out a little bit, but you were. You're getting out of it, though.
Okay, thank you. You're right. You know what? You definitely have been guiding me in the right direction. But, you know, those of us that still deal with that daily... From your point of view, what do you think that you can offer us to help us deal with it? Because like you said, I can sit here and talk for the next 2 days the experiences I have had with black men, and I'm not really happy at this point. So what can I do, or as a black woman, how do I get past that point so I can go back to respecting the essence of a black man?
The thing that I think that the woman can do is analyze her past. Be honest with herself. And another thing that she got to realize, the same way that man chose her, she chose him.
Mm.
So therefore, if she chose the wrong man, she needs to find out what's inside of herself why she's choosing these men. And therefore... If you find out the reason why you're choosing these men, then you can actually stop the pattern. So that is the major thing that a woman can do, is to analyze her past,
mm-hmm.
analyze what mm-hmm. she wants, mm-hmm. and also come honest with herself what type of man she actually likes. You know what I'm saying? Most women... is not honest with them about what type of man do they like. They say they want a good man, but
mm-hmm.
however, the good man to them is the punk. But they're going to
yep.
choose mm-hmm. the thug. You know what I'm saying? They got to learn to be able to find a man that has that balance, being a man that is not too much of a brute,
mm-hmm.
and able to take care of her, but at the same point of time, do has sensitivity, which he can be sensitive to things that she needs and wants in life. So
mm-hmm.
that's how I see it.
And you know, now when I, like I said, you know, it's no secret. I've been single for a long time. And I say 80% of it is my own fault. I'm not ready to take the whole 100% yet. But, just certain things that I look for in a man, and one thing that, you know, when I'm dating, or, you know, when I run across someone, the first thing they say is, what are you looking for? What do you want in a man? And as crazy as this might sound, that turns me off almost immediately, because I feel like you either have what I need or what I'm looking for, or you don't. So there's no purpose on me telling you, because I don't want you to try to change your true self to try to suit me for that moment, because that's still not going to do me any good in the end.
Okay.
Right. So you tell
what
me.
How are they supposed? Wait a minute, sis. Wait a minute. We just can't let you slide with that one. Well, how
I always thought I got away with it.
Oh, go ahead. Sis. How would they know what, you know what I mean, if you will be a match for them as well, if you You know what I mean? If you don't have anything in common. I don't think that question is just like, well, what do you want? But it's just like, well, maybe this is what I can do and this is what I can do. I understand your point, too, but you got to look at it a different way as well, is what I'm saying.
But you know
you
what?
You have to look at it.
You're right. You're right. I can agree with you. Halfway, I disagree because, and I'm going to tell you the reason why I'm like that. And it's, you know, if I meet a brother, I want to get to know him. I want to get to know the things he's interested in. And just by conversation, he will know if I'm a match or not. You know, I don't want to put, you know, I'm looking for this type of man and he does this and he, you know, do that because I don't want you to go out your way to try to do that to impress me if it's not really you.
Okay, you talking about the whole male representative thing.
Right,
they send their first representative in to meet you. I got you.
Not
tell them what they representative. I got you. In some cases. In some cases. Not all. In some cases. But, brother, I have a question for you. I have a question. Do you think that during these days and times that although the HIV epidemic and not only the HIV epidemic, but, you know, the gonorrhea epidemic has increased and, you know, have over the years have tripled within the United States, all around this country, in fact. And, of course, obviously the pregnancy, you know, in some cases it's an epidemic, in some cases it's obviously not. So my question to you, do you think that more people are settling down to be married or to stay in a single monogamous relationship now at this stage, or do you think people are more loosely and promiscuous?
From what I see, most people are loose and promiscuous. The reason being because we are living in the age of the independent woman. We're living also in the age of the man that don't want to be locked down with a woman and want to sow his oaks. And it becomes a problem when it comes to the black family. Because,
mm-hmm.
yes, we are producing children, but we are not producing families.
That's true.
And that is the issue. You know, most of these children nowadays don't know what family structure is. So by them not knowing what family structure is, basically what happened was the generation that was before me bred people like me, and we bred the generation today that is single without the mother and father in the home. So most people right now are promiscuous.
Okay, one more question, sister. I got to get them. I got to ask them these questions. Because I know I have at least one brother on this line. I already know that I had to call in. And I'm going to ask this question for him because I just had a conversation with him prior to this show. I'm not going to mention his name. He's lucky. But at any rate, I was conversing with him, and he's a older brother, and he had been married once before, and he feels, and he has a perfect sister for him that is down for him, that wants to, you know, marry him, that, you know, they've been knowing each other since high school. And he feels like, you know, he's going, you know, that she had asked him like a years ago, you know, whether or not if she felt like they would be a good match, and he told her he wanted to be friends. But now at this stage of the game, he actually wants to be with her. So now at this stage, she is not taking him seriously, but, you know, all of their families intertwine, and, you know what I mean, they've been knowing each other. Like, again, she's been loving him since high school. So am I right or correct in stating that he needs to step to her correct, and he should not take her for granted? Because he feels like, well, he's just going to ask her to marry him or at least get a ring for her for 2012, you know, as opposed to jumping on it right now. So what are your thoughts on that? Could you offer him some type of advice on that?
My thing of it is, if you find something that is good for you right now and you know that she will be also good for you in the long run, then why wait? Because the same way that you're stringing her along, some other man is chasing her behind closed doors, like almost like a lion. You know, you got two lions that is sitting, stalking the same thing. One is taking its time, and the other one's going to pounce on the right thing. So my thing over there is, you know, if you really care for this particular person and want to be with this person, you already know the person, so therefore there is no real courtship in trying to get to know the person. You already know them, been know them all your life. Hey, go for it. That's what I would suggest, you know, because if you don't, hey, some other man will, you know. What they say, one man's trash is another man's gold or something, so forth. You know, hey, I would suggest for him to go for it. But if he don't, he's going to regret it because somebody else going to be married to her because she's going to be tired of being strung along or strung along. That's it.
Okay. One thing, we have a person in the chat room. I'm going to try to ask this question. They are in a, they are engaged to a black male. I don't know if this is a Caucasian or not because I don't know who says a black male. But I think that's kind of weird. But anyway, they're in a relationship and it's going fine. However, he wants kids before he is he turns 30, but we won't be married until we're 26 of next year, until he finishes grad school. So I don't know what the question quite is. Let me go back down. Okay, they continue to write. How do you plan kids around someone who is jumping the gun a bit, but I want kids not just right after I get married?
So pretty much what you're saying is the person, the male, wants to have children now and wants to marry her later. That's
right.
What the question is. My thing is, why would a man or anybody would go to the extent of wanting to have children by somebody but yet don't want to commit to them and marry them? Even though I really don't agree with the European structure of marriage. However,
exactly. I don't either.
But if you're going to go that far as having children, either you're going to use the piece of paper that the European gives you, or you're going to do it the traditional route in which, you know what I'm saying, there's sole commitment. Now, if the person the person is solely committed, and y'all going to do it the traditional route without the European, you know, say, marriage papers, then I would say that he's right. But if he's going to go the route of the papers, then why not marry her now?
Okay, well, she broke it down again. She said no. She means, like, he wants to be married first. He wants to have a spiritual union, what have you, and then have children.
Oh, okay, it's the other way around.
Right.
Why not?
So I'm guessing she probably wants children first and then get married or something. I don't know.
I mean, why would a person not want to have that union first and then plan on the children? You know, get yourself right first. You know what I'm saying? Get your finances right. Get your living establishment right. Your lives right first. And be able to live with each other first before you go and bring children inside a relationship, you know.
Yes, that's a good point, brother. One more question, because I know my sister Sylvia got a million, because I can tell she's just holding on to her seat. I have another question before she start digging into you. On the terms of when you brought up an interesting point, you said that about European marriages. Now, can you break that concept down to a lot of our listeners that don't understand that concept on the terms of the spiritual unions and the unions? Because a lot of European, traditions, because a lot of times with us, although, you know, a lot of us within our community, within the black community that's I hate to use the word conscious because conscious is such an overrated word. I hate using that because it's like we're separating ourselves from everybody, and I don't want to be separated from our people.
I know.
So what I'm saying is within our world, I guess I can use within our world, for those that do not want the traditional European marriages but just want the spiritual unions, do you have any suggestions to doing so? And how, for example, if that spouse, a spouse passes away or your mate passes away, what do you have as a backup to ensure that, you know, they will be taken care of? Because we're not doing the traditional European, because, you know, most of us, the reason why, if we do the European, it's not like we necessarily believe in it, but we do it to, you know, to ensure safety of the family, to make sure that the family is taken care of.
Okay. I got you. Actually, a lot of the European marriages is actually based around a religious concept, and that religious concept of the country happens to be Christianity. A lot of people that claims consciousness is not necessarily religious or fall within the category of Christianity. My thoughts of Christianity is my thoughts, but as far as marriage is concerned, I am like this. As long as a man and a woman is committed to each other and have talked about every issue that a man and a woman could actually talk about, then to me, you are actually married anyway, because you are loyal to each other. There's a union. A piece of paper don't make you no more loyal to a person than a person's word, because a person's word is supposed to be bond. Word is bond. Bond is life. You should give your life before your word should fail. So therefore, when you give your word that she's yours and he's yours, then you're sealed by a word, and that word is bond. And that ultimate word is love that y'all fall into, and no piece of paper can bring about love. As far as, you know, whenever a person expires or goes back to the essence, and you want to be able to take care of the mate, that is up to you all to be able to sit down along with what I was talking about before, talking about, okay, what if this happens? What is going to happen? That is, to me, you know, that comes to a person's word is bond. If y'all don't want to go that route, then make a will. You know, a written will, which to me is just like marriage papers. But, you know, a lot of people don't trust each other. That's why they go the route of marriage, because they want to have a piece of paper to say, okay, if this person cheats on me, or this person goes back to the essence, or this person does not still do his duty as a mate, then I can go to court and sue you. But, you know, people that word is bond, they don't have to worry about that. I mean, I've been in plenty of relationships in which it didn't work out. I let the female have everything, and I just left and rebuilt, because I did not want to leave her high and dry, you know, because we built it, we built whatever we had together. And you can't split a television, so therefore I was like, yo, you can have it, because I knew that I was going to be all right. And as of right now, I'm all right, you know. That is what I would suggest.
Okay.
Yeah, look, I'm shaking. I
got like three more questions.
Go ahead, Queen.
Brother Righteous.
I'm going to take a break for a minute. You go ahead.
Okay, Brother Righteous. Now,
this
is what I don't understand. You know, a year ago, Toni Braxton came out with a song, and in her song, she explains, you know, I washed your clothes, I cooked your food, I made love to you when you wanted it, I did everything, so why didn't you love me? And I think when I heard that song, I had to pull over and just
instantly get mad at the world because I have been there and felt that. Now, my question to you is, why is it that that a man can confess and say, you know, accept you as his wife or his lifelong partner, but still explore to be touched by another woman?
Now, I'm about to get beat up right here, right now. This is what I'm about to get beat up on.
Go ahead, brother. We listening.
It is not as in, it's really not in a man's nature to be monogamous. I'm just going to be straight up honest with you. Even though, yes, we do it, it is not in our nature, especially in our tradition as black people. Throughout history, man has dealt in polygamy. Not saying that certain societies also did not deal with monogamy, but majority of them dealt with polygamy. Also, there's also societies in which females deal with polygamy.
Right.
Which they had more than one husband. But
true.
It's not in a male's nature to be monogamous. Now, me, I would be monogamous because I can't be taking care of a bunch of women. I'm not financially stable. I don't have it like that mentally to be manipulating a bunch of women.
Mm-hmm.
But you'll get caught in a lie sooner or later, you know. And I don't have that power to keep lying to a person. And I don't have the energy to be dealing with more than one woman, especially in this day and age of the angry black woman syndrome. I have enough issues in dealing with one, talking about dealing with two and three other ones. But to answer your question, technically it's not in a man's nature to be monogamous. However, in this society, in the United States of America, they preach one man, one woman. But it's not in our nature. That's why it happens.
So is that an old European thing to have one man per one woman?
Actually, yes. The reason why I would say that, because when you have to look at them, when they built in the caves of Europe, they lived in a harsh environment. And them dealing in a harsh environment, there was scarcity of food and them being able to take care of a family. So therefore, they couldn't have numerous wives, because they could barely take care of the one that they had. But
mm-hmm.
you had Africans that had the whole continent with all different natural resources. And he could take care of more than one of them, and they would be happy. A lot of African communities, the man has more than one wife. Sometimes they even live together. And they're happy. The reason why they're happy, because they know their roles, and the man also know his role. Now, also, I will say this, not to get the man off the hook. Most men, I can almost say about 95% of the men in the world nowadays, outside of Africa, especially in America as far as black men is concerned, don't know how to live under the laws of polygamy, because they just don't. So therefore, I would suggest for them to be monogamous anyway, because they don't know how to live under the laws of polygamy, and most of them don't have anything financially to be able to take care of more than one woman. So just be monogamous, even though it's not in your nature, but still, I would say practice monogamy.
Okay, Brother Righteous, I have just one more question for you. Now, how do you think we should break the curse of the Willie Lynch syndrome as far as the women being independent and we look down to our men and our men feel like they're beneath us or they can't measure up? What do you think we as women or you all as men need to do to kind of, you know,
basically, what needs to happen is men and women need to get back in their proper roles. Now, I can't fault the women now for the independent thing, even though they've taken it too far. Because, you know, if a man is not taking care of you and not doing what he needs to do as a man and, like, taking care, helping her take care of the children, the household, whatever, she got to do what she got to do. Now, my issue is with women that is independent. Once they get a man in their life that knows his role as a man, they don't know how to relinquish that power. They have been so independent so long, so busy running a household so long that when a man comes into their life, the same way they treated their children strongly, they try to treat the man strongly too, because they don't know how to relinquish that role and let the man be his be in his proper position.
But I would think, so we know that, right? You as a black man know that's the situation, that we as black women are more independent because that's just the role we were born into and we have to carry. So can we get a little bit more understanding? Because we're trying to understand why black men at some points don't measure up to where we feel like they should be because of all the odds that they have against them, you know, as far as, you know, employment, as far as, you know, brothers getting locked up, you know what I'm saying, the police brutality, everything else. So we're trying to understand or empathize for our brothers, like, okay, well, you know, you have your issues, you know, and you're going through your things too. So why is it when a woman that has been in a role of independence for so long, a man come across her and just walk on by like he doesn't want to have anything to do with that?
Where's our
understanding? Our empathy, sympathy, whatever.
Go ahead. I apologize. Go ahead. Finish.
No, I'm done. Now I want to hear what you have to say.
Basically what happened is most people don't understand in this society as far as the black male in this society and the black female in this society. Basically what happens with the black female, the Caucasian man, which I like to call the leucoderm man, that's my term. Basically what he does is he exalts the black woman and puts down the black man, because he knows that in order for us to truly get out of the predicament that we're in as a group of people, the black man has to take his proper position in order to help lead us out of this condition. And he also knows that the female is the one that is going to nurture and to breed these warriors. So therefore, what they try to do is to try to diminish both of our positions so that now we're warring with one another instead of with the true enemy that we need to, you know what I'm saying, to deal with at this point in time. Trying to get back to also what you was talking about, I really can't give you a total solution to the problem between males and females, because every answer that I could give you, I can also find other ways in which that is not totally true. I just think that what we just need to do is to fall in our proper positions. The females got our back. And we also act like we got some sense in leading. But that mm-hmm. does not mean that if you got whoever, Hojo or whoever on the block selling drugs, that you got to stand behind his back to feel like you are doing your duty as a black woman. That's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is when you see the real brothers that is doing what they supposed to do in life,
mm-hmm.
have their back. Don't look at them as the punk. Don't push them to the point in which now they got to fight you because you're so aggressive to them that now they just blacks out and end up doing something to you that they shouldn't have done or they didn't want to do. And be honest with you, black women know how to push buttons. And it is up to us as males to know what them buttons are so they will not push some buttons. I really can't give you a definite answer. I can just give you an overall synopsis of what is going on.
Okay.
Okay, we got some. Oh, sis, if you got another question, go ahead, because we got a lot of calls.
I don't have any more questions. I was going to ask you, did you have any for Brother Righteous?
No.
Oh, well, sis, we are in sync with one another. Great. Well, we do have a couple more calls, Brother, that kind of want to ask you questions, because I know that we definitely have another guest, so we got probably at least 15 more minutes for people that want to ask questions for you, Brother.
No
Is that
problem.
Okay with you?
No problem.
And then you can hold on, and then we're gonna introduce the sister after those 15 minutes. We're gonna still have you on the show, so because we might have more people or more guests that may have questions for you.
No problem.
So at any rate, I'm gonna take 315-385-96. You're on Black Power Radio.
Hello.
Yes, ma'am. You're on Black Power Radio.
Peace. Story short, you know, I'm an angry black woman at 29, single mom to a beautiful 3-month-old daughter. You know, her father and I, we've been through our stuff, been through BS, and I know within myself that we weren't meant to be together. We were good at friends, and that's where we should have stayed. But it's like now, because I caught him in telling me a half-truth, and I have a habit of when I know something that you've done, I'll ask you, you know, and you lie to me, that puts me back into a really deep emotional box that I've been fighting since I was 17 years old to stay out of. And, you know, that's what my daughter's father did. And because I caught him in that lie, you know, we went through a lot of stuff during, like, the last 3 months of my pregnancy, you know, her being born, everything. And now, you know, we don't speak, you know. Although I desperately try to reach out to him, you know, to be, you know, a part of her life, because she's doing so much. You know, when I was down, you know, to the point where he could verbally kick me while I was down, when I didn't have a lot, when I was really trying to figure out how I was going to do for my daughter because we weren't together, he would harp on that all day long. But now it's like, I'm taking care of her. I'm working a job and a half, you know. I'm maintaining by the grace of the Creator, you know, to the God of my understanding. And he doesn't call about her. He, you know, I try to let him know, like, listen, when we're not together, you got your life, I got mine. But we have a daughter, and it's like she's doing so much, and he shouldn't have to miss that. And I feel like I'm the only adult in this situation. And, you know, it's to the point where how long, like, what is his problem? Like, what is really going on? You know, I got to breathe. I'm sorry, y'all. Every morning I wake up and I see so much of him and her. And I just want him to see that.
Oh, my sister. Oh, my sister. Brother, could you answer her? Do you have an answer for her sister so she can take a breath and kind of get herself together with it?
Only thing that I can say is I can't tell you what is going through his head. A lot of times, us as males, we tend to have a lot of issues inside of ourselves, mm-hmm. in which we don't know how to properly take care of a family. And mm-hmm. sometimes what ends up happening, too, just to be honest, men tend to sometimes, I know in this society, tend to equate the child with the mother.
They don't know how to
separate the two. Just because you're mad at the mother don't mean that you have to abandon your child. And I noticed that is what a lot of men do, and a lot of it comes from females using children as weapons also. So sometimes sometimes it's a double whammy. Sometimes it's both of our faults. The only thing that I can say for you to help you out is to keep loving yourself and to keep loving your child, because you seem like a passionate mother. And
I can't help but not to be. You know, he has other children, and he's a part of their lives. But, you know, he's not going to be a part of hers despite me. And it's like, you know, I have, like, my homegirls who tell me, you know, forget him, you know, you the mother and the father. No, I'm not. I'm a mother. She meets her father. I'm doing double the work, but I'm not a father.
I understand.
So, you know, it's just like I told him, you know, I'll never keep her away from him because she has the right to form her own opinion about him. Not based on what I say. You know,
okay.
These are her most important years, 0 to 5, okay, where she's starting to recognize who's going to be the one to feed me today, who's going to be the one to clean me and clothe me today, who am I going to see today. And I feel, like I said, I just feel like I'm the only adult here. And it's like I've been through other relationships with brothers, and I'm to the point where, Brother Righteous, I'm tired. Like, I can be a best friend to my brother, but the love, that internal flame that I used to have and carry with me is slowly burning out.
I understand. One thing I can say is, do not, or you shouldn't, or I hope you wouldn't, can't really tell you what to do, hold things against us based on what one man done.
It's not just one man, Brother Righteous, it's many.
I understand.
You know?
But
so it's like, I have a daughter, and not to cut you off, Brother Righteous, I do apologize. I have a daughter, and I pay attention to what's out here. I pay attention to the parents or so-called parents that are raising little ones just like her, and I'm scared to death. I am scared because there is no teaching going on. I'm 29 years old. Her father's in his 30s. We both didn't have perfect childhoods, but I still have some sort of a foundation up under me. That is why I don't understand him. I don't.
I don't understand his mentality.
I'm sorry, sis. I have to step in and say this. It's not for you. It seems like to me, in my humble opinion, it's not for you to understand him right now. it's really up to, at this stage, because I've been a single mother myself in the past. And really, to be honest with you, what Brother Righteous is saying is at this stage of the game, you just have to really keep your head up and just continue to love yourself, because we know that you love yourself and we know that you love your child. And you just, I know that you're saying that you're not mother and father, but right now you just have to continue on. And, yes, we do have a problem within our community with male and female relationships. That's obvious. That's why we're having this show. And so what we have to do is we have to begin the healing process. And once we begin to heal, then, like, something great will come our way, whether that is another righteous brother that's righteous for us. Because it, a lot of times it's not that men are horrible or women are horrible. It's just a lot of times and a lot of cases is that person's not just for you. They just not meant for you. You know what I mean? And it played out negatively on your end or maybe his end. It just played out. That does not mean that there isn't any great brothers out there or great sisters out there. What that means is that person at that time was just not right for you. And it just seems to me, it just seems best that as women or as brothers, that we just have to keep moving, keep it moving, and just build strength within ourselves, and it will come along and just self-heal and heal first before we move on to the next relationship, or we're going to keep having these problems. Because, again, the brother did point out that sometimes, I know in my past, and certainly we all have made these types of mistakes, is that we have kind of chosen these types of people. You know what I mean? You know they say you are what you eat. So in a lot of times we attract certain things within that person and pull out certain abilities that may not be there, whether we are conscious or unconscious of that fact. So what we have to do is just really heal from that and just select, you know, what we feel and not close ourselves off, because if we close ourselves off, we're going to miss opportunities. So it's just best, if the only thing we can offer you, sister, is really to just heal. And that's just being, that's not a cliche, it is the truth.
But how do I know you have something to say.
I'm sorry, sister, what did you say your name was?
Can I remain anonymous, please?
Okay. I just wanted your first name. I didn't want the whole government. But anyway, what I want to do is I want to give you my number, and I want you to call me. We just started a new organization called the the Rose with Thorns in it, and the purpose of that is this. That we can heal, because see, I'm in the process of telling you, so I'm gonna tell you. If I was next to you, I would hug you, because I know exactly how you feel. But I've been there multiple times, so I know, and that's part of the reason why I'm angry, because I've been raised for 20 years, pretty much single, and I had to grow up with some of them. So, you know,
it's frustrating.
It's very frustrating. Even now, you know, my children are teenagers. It's still frustrating because with having four teenagers, you have to be in four different places at different times to have a show with them. You know,
somebody's too close to their radio, to their computer, because it's breaking up.
Yeah. So I definitely relate. So I do want you to call me. Make sure you call me. I'm gonna give you my number. It's 757-208-5142.
I really do appreciate it. And like I said, Brother Righteous, I heard you say a few things which make me wanna ask you. Are you a part of the last 5% Nation?
Say that one more time.
I said that I heard you say a few things that make me want to ask, are you a part of a Lost 5% Nation?
I put it like this. I've studied a lot of different things in the past. I would say yes, as far as the truest sense of things, but I will also say no because I do not prescribe to any organization. But I do know, I know what's up.
True indeed.
Anybody know me, know I know what's up.
Well, you know, I tried to go that route, but I got, you know, a lot of bitter ill feelings towards that. And I'm not saying that is wrong. It's just that when I grow up more, because I can admit this, because there's a lot of things that I still don't understand. So when I mature a little more, I would like to explore that route again.
Feel like this. I tell everybody, knowledge is now, but understanding comes in time.
It sure does.
But we can always get information and facts now, but you know, it takes experience in order for us to really understand what is going on. So just take your time.
Sis, I wanted to know when would be a good time to call you.
Actually, you can call me anytime. I'm self-employed, so I come and go as I want, so I can accept a call at any time. And feel free. I mean, even if you just wanted to talk, just call me.
All right, sis. Thank you all very much. Peace and blessings to you all. I'm going to continue to listen to the rest of the show because I did get a lot, and I did, and I'm learning. And I'm sorry I had that emotional break.
No, sister, we are okay with that. We love you, Queen. We love you. We don't mind that. This is Black Ball Radio. We do not mind that. This is Sister's Night. You're free to release. Okay, sister, don't forget to call that sister, and we'll go from there because she has a great organization and that is starting up now that we're working on. She's working on those kinds of things. So that would definitely be a help. And I'm sorry we didn't exactly answer your question and go into great detail, but the only thing we can say is just heal, talk, write, whatever makes you feel good, do it.
And actually, what makes me feel good.
Yes.
And I have to be
except
honest.
Except for setting fire to the car. Except for setting fire to the car, sister.
Right. No way, take care of
them.
You know
why I say that, sister.
If this was months ago,
any of that,
I thought about it. Months back, I thought about it. I ain't going to even front.
I'm so glad you didn't do that. We're so glad that you didn't do that, sister. Let me say that. We don't want you to do anything that's disruptive. That's not going to make you feel good in the end, trust me.
Go ahead. All right, y'all. I thank the Creator for my daughter because every day, every morning, no matter what, it makes me feel good to see her face. It makes me feel good to see her smile and know that I'm getting up and providing for her. That's like that's the heart of me.
Well, that certainly helps. It does.
You all have a good night. Thank you so much.
Yes, all right, thank you. All right, we love that sister. Woo! She almost had me crying because, you know, we all been there, male and female, brothers. Don't act like y'all haven't been there yourselves because we know you have. We gotta bring our other guests on, brother. Maintain. Stay on, brother.
Oh, no, I'm cool.
Okay. Sister, what's her name? Sister Drita?
Sister Drea.
I will mess up your name. I'm good at that. 757-328. You're on Black Power Radio, sister. Come on.
Peace, Queens. How you doing?
Peace.
How you doing this day, Sister Drea?
I'm doing good. How y'all doing?
Good. You all right?
Thank you very much. Oh, Black Power, make sure I say that.
Okay.
Sure. We need Black Power.
No doubt.
Peace, Drea.
Who's going right?
Peace.
Suzette, hotel, all those good things.
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, Sister Graham, go ahead. I know you can see it. Go ahead. Light it. Go ahead.
Right. Okay, Sister Graham, I have been dying to get you on here. Because it was the scoop that you broke down, you know, a couple weeks ago, and I want to explain it because I knew if I tried to explain it, I couldn't explain it correctly. But I want you to help us understand our role as a black woman in a relationship.
Well, can you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you.
Fantastic.
Yes, everybody's breaking up for some reason.
I don't know what that is about. Well, the black role in a relationship, as far as a woman is concerned, is femininity, and that's one of the things that we're missing. Women don't know how to be women. Society is training us to be men, overly confident, making our own money. It's like money is our new man. And when you have that principle, you create a nation of women who don't need their man. Ergo, you take away his dominance, and so the dance is lost in the relationship, and that's why they're not lasting.
Okay, so now I know you were explaining to me how the women are the hunted and the men are the hunters. Could you explain that to everybody that's here?
You said how the women are hunted and how the men are the hunters?
Right.
Basically, in the nature of a woman, it's the nature of a woman to be hunted, and it's the nature of a man to hunt. And when a woman is overly independent, it takes away the hunt from the man, because now you have a nation of women that are hounding him for a relationship. You're hounding him for the truth. You're hounding him for time. You're hounding him. So when you continually hound him, you take the hunt away from him, and you do a disservice to yourself, because now you got to contest with a man who's aloof, vague, irrational, cheating on you, and so forth and so on. And that's the result of that. When you take manhood away from a man, that is what you're going to get.
Wow.
Okay,
my
heart goes out to the young lady who was just on the phone a second ago crying, and I wish I could reach out to her and let her know that that attitude is what has him acting that way. A lot of women are going to be mad at me when I say this, but a lot of our relationship issues are our fault. And the reason is because we don't put a high enough standard on ourselves. If you have a high enough standard on yourself, you make him put you on a pedestal. So you don't have to contest with a lot of the petty things that we as women go through these days with these men that don't know how to treat us right, because we're not treating ourselves right, and we don't put ourselves on a pedestal. You're not allowing him to hunt you. So in retrospect, you get dogs.
I just want to interject here. We're like, somebody is really too close to their computer, so if you can turn down the computer or kind of step away from it a little bit, because we're getting extreme feedback.
Okay, that might be me. Is that better?
Let me make sure. Yeah, I think so. The chat room says it's fine.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Can you
get better?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Go ahead, Sister. Go ahead. You got three questions, I know, and I'm going to ask my three.
look, you know, because I'm working on self. I'm in a transition period. I'm trying to get it together. But now you said that we as women have to set higher standards for ourselves. Now give us an example, because some of us feel like we have those high standards.
Can you ask that question one more time?
Okay. You said that that we as, you know, women need to set higher standards for ourselves. But some of us, you know, feel like we have high standards already. So what would qualify us ourselves at a higher standard versus not?
Okay. A woman can say, okay, women, let me say this, women communicate different than men, and that's one of the things that we need to realize. A woman can talk, can you guys hear me? A woman can talk to another woman and through conversation gain understanding with each other. Men don't communicate that way. Men communicate by action and no contact. That's how men communicate. So, for example, a woman will yell and scream at her man and when he has to leave the house. Don't leave, I'm talking to you. But that's not how he communicates. He understands things better when he's able to walk away and think about those things. So I say that to say this. You can say that you have a higher standard for yourself and make it sound believable to a woman, but your action is what validates that statement to a man. So if you feel that you have yourself on a pedestal and you and your man are arguing and you stay there and you continue to do his laundry or you continue to accept his lies or you continue, then what you're saying about your higher standard is not showing to him. And he's going to go by what you're showing him.
Okay. All right, sister, before I ask you more questions, you have any questions?
I'm sorry, say that again.
I was talking to Amira. Okay, well, I'll go ahead. I'm kind of go back up with Brother Righteous a little bit earlier. Now, he said, really, you know, black men are not designed to be monogamous. So
Black men are what?
Are not designed to be monogamous. It's just not in their makeup.
Well, that's not necessarily true. I don't necessarily agree with it. The whole polygamy situation was really cultivated and started by women, okay? What was going on in ancient Kemet was the women saw the need for family and saw the need that there was – and saw that it was more of them than men. So what they did was they took the man and they put him in the center. Women initiated polygamy. So it had nothing to do with a man being monogamous. It had nothing to do with that because a man can only be what a woman allows him to be. And I'm not trying to say that as a feminist statement. I'm saying that as the truth. If a woman says – I'm not messing with you because you're married, then that's what it is. So the whole men not being able to be monogamous, that really depends on the woman. You know, when you allow your man to chase because he's a natural hunter, when you always give him something to chase after, he's not going to have a need to chase other women because he's too busy chasing you. But the minute you give in, give 100% of yourself and have him feeling like he has all of you and no matter what he does, you're still going to be there, that's what it's going to be. And then he's going to look for other prey. Because men are natural hunters.
Okay. Now, I'm going to ask you like I asked Brother Righteous a little bit earlier. What do you, in your perspective, what do you think we need to do to rebuild the relationship between the black man and the black woman?
We have to perfect the dance between us. For example, a woman needs to be able to put herself on a pedestal, first and foremost. You need to understand your value. Without it, you're not going to gain his respect and admiration. You're just not. So you have to understand your value. But at the same time, a man needs to understand how to reign dominant. A woman can be as strong as she wants to be. She can yell out to the world that she's strong, she don't need a man. But at the end of the day, if she's honest with herself, she wants a man that can reign dominant over her. That is our natural position. Every woman wants a strong man. And if she's strong, she wants somebody who's stronger. So to a certain retrospect, she has to put herself on a pedestal, but he has to have enough confidence to tame her. It's a dance. We were meant to be opposite so that we could happily exude balance. But if we don't know, if you don't put yourself in a position of confidence and togetherness in the natural order of which you stand, the dance is going to falter every time.
Right. Well, you know what, Sister Dre, what I want to do is I want to open the floor to see if there's any brothers out there that have any questions for you.
Word.
Anyone out in the chat room, if you have a question for Sister Dre, just raise your hand.
Okay, 1 second. Before I know we got Brother Dennis want to chime in. He said that he's stalling. He got his hand up. So what I'm going to do is before I bring him on, I have a, well, let me make sure, because I had another guest. She wanted to do an announcement. Did she leave? Let me see. Did I catch her off? Okay, no. Well, I'll go ahead and bring Brother Dennis, and I'll just let the guest come back on in a second. So I'll go ahead and press for Brother Dennis to come on. 334-450, on Black Power Radio. We not stalling, brother. We listening.
Oh, now you going to call me out like that?
Yes, sir.
Now I'm about to bring it. I'm about to drop this bomb on y'all. But
all
let
right,
me
Brother that. Dennis.
Y'all know I'm not the type of person to hold nothing back. But just let me say this here to the girl in the chat room, Isis Michelle. Let me just say this here, address that real quick, what they were saying in the chat. And I'm going to say this to any woman out there. If your husband bring a disease home, one time is enough. Get the hell up out of there. No, not. Let me take that back. Use the documentation from the doctor to use that for the grounds of divorce right there alone. And don't stay up in no situation like that, because you need to love yourself enough. And let me say this here. No woman should submit to just all or any man. You submit to the right man, and the best man that I can say that you get is a man that is a true servant of God. And you can tell by his fruit. But too many sisters out there are judging by the cover of the book, and they ain't reading none of the chapters. And that's what's getting them caught up. And I just wanted to stress that, because too many of these Jack Glade shade tree preachers are trying to preach to these women to submit to these men, but the men they submitting to, they ain't actually men. They are still boys, still children. Just because they're 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80 years old, don't make them a man. A gun don't make you a man. A good job don't make you a man. Because you can provide for a house don't make you a man. Because you can provide for 8, 9, 10 different women at one time don't make you a man. What makes you a man is being able to be truthful, not go out and do these one-night stands. A real man doesn't make no single-parent homes. All these single-parent homes out there, they weren't made by no real man. And if there was a single-parent home that was made by a real man, that real man is in that life of that child every single day of the week because he loved that child. Let me say this, then I'm done. If a father doesn't hang around to raise up his child the way they need to be raised up, he hates that child, period. Did I go too far?
No, we listening.
Okay.
No. I'm here.
Anything you want to ask me? Because, you know, I've always got the truth to tell. So that's all I know is the truth.
Ask me.
Huh?
I said, I thought you had a question to ask me.
Oh, well, okay, well, I'm going to ask you this here. I got a question to ask you. What can we do to get our sisters to stop going up in these nightclubs every weekend and thinking that's the thing to do? I mean, it's almost like trying to get black folks to stop celebrating Christmas, stop celebrating Halloween, stop celebrating Thanksgiving. I mean, all these are evil holidays. I mean, what can we do to get these sisters up out of these nightclubs? That's where a lot of them one-night stands happen, them single-parent homes start. What can we do to stop getting our sisters to stop using their butt, they pity,
well,
they cleaving to sell themselves and use their mind to sell themselves.
Well, let me say this. Even though I talk a lot about a woman putting herself up on a pedestal and understanding her worth, and that's 110% true, but you must realize that the man sets the tone of every relationship. It's the job of the woman to be hunted. So the club is hunting ground. So if the man goes there and that's his chosen hunting ground, he's always going to find prey there because it is the nature of a woman to want that attention. So if you really want to stop the flow of the club, you have to teach women to validate themselves through their own virtue, and you have to teach the man to stop hunting there for that type of woman. because anytime you have a lion who hunts the deer, there's always going to be deer that exist.
Okay, I feel you on that. Then what we need to do as a black nation, we need to address these issues and put them into play and put them into effect. And we need to teach these sisters that not every male that you run across because they look good, got a job, got money in a car, don't make them a man. They need to start choosing wisely. And again, the last question I want to ask you, then I'll be done. Again, what can we get the sisters, if they need attention, what can we do to get the sisters to, they can change, let me say, the woman can change all of this. Because as the way it looks, I'm 47 years old, and the men ain't getting nowhere. The majority of them are dogs, period. Mm-hmm. Okay, so, and I'm 47, and I know. Can't nobody deny my knowledge on that now. But the thing is, these sisters who use their butt as their bait, use the cleavage as their bait, you know, they're using the wrong thing for the bait. Use the mind. And if a brother don't want you for your mind, don't give him a time of day. You know what I'm saying?
I 110% agree. You know, but you're dealing with a sister who does not know her worth, her virtue, or her value, so she demeans herself down to that because she feels like that's what her worth is, and that's what a man is going to hunt her by. So, yeah, that's right. So you have to increase her level of value, and then she will be able to use the mind to get the man. Because in all honesty, ladies, real talk, a man would rather have a mediocre woman that really don't care too much versus somebody gorgeous chasing them around in lingerie. Believe me when I tell you that. So it is going to be the mind of the woman that captures and keeps him, not her body parts. But, you know, they have to learn that. And a lot of us learn the hard way. We try to chase them. We try to stop them from lying. We try to stop them from cheating. Where you going? Why are you doing this to me? And all along, that's just driving him further away. He's always going to go after the prey that's running.
And you know, I agree 100%. Because I know a lot of women, and I have broken up a couple of these domestic violences and made the male run off, okay, personally, two of them I can vouch for. But a lot of women would choose the man for the cover of his book, and then they get tied up with him. Then when they find out what's on the inside, they get stuck, just like you got some men who beat their women. But the women don't ever leave because they're scared of being out on their own and stuff like that. So I just
don't leave because they perceive that as strength. When a man is beating on a woman and the woman don't leave, she's distorted. She is perceiving that as strength because all women want a strong man. So women have devalued themselves these days so much that they don't know what strength is. So to some women, him beating me up is strength. To some women, him cheating on me is strength. To some women, him being vague and aloof and distant is strength. Because they don't understand the value of themselves, so they can't decipher what strength is. Like that old James Evans strength from Good Times, that strength.
Mm-hmm.
But we're not used to that no more. You know what I'm saying? We used to pants sagging, half homosexual, so now we have to decipher what strength is, and that's why the woman goes after the thug. Because she don't know what strength is. She just knows that.
Right. And that's why we need to change the mentality of the black women. And let them know what the strength is. And let them know sagging pants ain't strength. A shiny car ain't strength. We need to show them what the real value of strength is. And we need to just force that into the minds and the mentality of the young black women. Because if you look at it, and I'm done now, but if you look at it, it ain't getting better. It's only getting worse. More and more people are getting left out that way. Because you can't take a 13, 14-year-old girl who have a baby. She can't raise up a little boy into a man because she don't know what it's like to be a man. And that same little 13, 14-year-old girl can't raise up her daughter to be a grown woman because she don't even know what it's like to be a grown woman or the qualities of being a grown woman.
Mm-hmm.
And the cycle needs to stop. We need to get out here and change the mindset of the system because I'm telling you, them hard-head males ain't changing no time soon, so the sisters need to get up and do it. And I appreciate all you strong queens I appreciate y'all, and I don't care whatever mail want to call up on this show and go off on me, come play it, because I'm always going to be on the side of the women, because the man gave their authority and their power away a long time ago, and they ain't doing nothing to get it back, because they letting too many people take over what they should be controlling. The man should be controlling his household. He should be controlling his community. He should be controlling his city, his state, his country. But the man, the males ain't doing diddly squat. And I'm done now.
All right, brother. Let me go ahead and thank you so much, Brother Dennis, for calling in, boy. We love that brother. That brother. When I was doing accolades, I should have put Brother Dennis in there because he definitely works on our national website for the Day of Action. He does a lot of great work. But sisters, before we and brother, I'm sorry, and King and Queens, I should say, I'm gonna go ahead and call on this other sister. We have one more person on here. She has a short announcement. I'm gonna allow her to do that. I should stop saying allow her to do that, but we want her to do that. 504-881-55, you're on Black Car Radio.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. Fine. How can we help you, Queen, today on Black Car Radio?
I was calling because I have a topic that I feel like needs to be addressed by pretty much everyone in the Black community, as far as our young Black men being falsely accused of murders in different situations and also receiving time that does not even justify the crime. Right now, my fiance and my younger brother is currently incarcerated for some murders that they have not committed. And not only that, but the lack of evidence and no witnesses, and they're still being held. And it's like I'm really to the point where I'm, like, real frustrated with the judicial system that we live under today, because it's like instead of really trying to fight crime and really find justice, it's like they just snatch up the first young Black man that they see that kind of fits the profile and just, like, you know, to put the community at ease. Go ahead and try to prosecute them so everybody can feel comfortable when the problem hasn't even been solved. And it's like it's kind of hard to understand because, you know, we live in a system where justice runs everything, but it's really not justice at all.
Well, sister, we agreed, Sister Civet, this is the sister I was telling you about that we're going to have on next week's show, but I definitely wanted her to definitely promote what exactly is going on in the, you know, trials and tribulations what she's dealing with. So I definitely wanted her to put that out there because next week we're going to have her on next Wednesday's show so she can talk more about the situations with her fiancé and her beloved brother. So we can get that more out there because we're getting ready to start getting on top of that. Sister, can you tell us where you're from?
I'm from New Orleans, Louisiana.
Okay, so if anybody is in the Louisiana, New Orleans area, or Baton Rouge, close enough, give us a call at 502-299-8530. As of right now, we're going to start attacking this issue with this sister. We're going to work with her intensively. So right now, I just wanted her to kind of tell you about herself. Sister, could you say your name, too, if you don't mind?
Yes. My name is Beverly.
Okay. And let everybody know how you got in contact with us, too.
I got in contact with you all is my aunt was actually a member of the 60s Black Panther Party, and she gave me you guys' number to contact, and she thought that, you know, you guys could really push the issue and help out with really getting these brothers free as far as, you know, them being wrongly convicted, because she looked at the case with Brother Troy and how he was, like, put to death for something that he did not do. And she just wanted the cycle to be broken. She didn't want to see that happen again, especially to somebody who was, you know, as close-knit to our family as these two brothers are.
All right, sister. Well, you have our prayers, and not only are you going to have our prayers, but you definitely are going to have our help. So, again, we're going to form that. Go ahead.
I was just telling you, I do appreciate, you know, everything and all the effort that has already been put in place to help me out. really do.
Oh, no problem. Sis, please don't thank us. It's our duty as people, as black folks, and we love you. So if you want to remain on the line, that's fine. But I apologize for getting you in, but it's just such a hot topic. And what you're talking about is definitely a hot issue that we have in our black community as well. So I'm going to just mute your mic because I know we're having a lot of interference. Every time someone calls in, I have to mute a lot of callers, it seemed like it, that I want to get in. But if you can remain on and listen, but definitely, or you can go in the chat room as well and get your information out.
I would definitely continue to listen because it was a lot of topics that was touched upon when I was listening. I was like, okay, well, you know, that enlightened me on some situations that I was dealing with currently. So, yeah, I would definitely continue to listen.
All right, yes, ma'am. Let me place you on hold for a second, sister. All right, well, we definitely do appreciate our sister, and we're definitely going to work with that sister because I know this is going all around the country, and we need to start developing committees within these local autonomies to help these sisters. And we're doing it on a national level, but we have to begin to start developing on a local level within these small autonomies so we can really make some things happen, so we can start beginning to build. At any rate, I'm going to start putting these people in call because Brother Dennis didn't have no questions. Brother Dennis just commented. So it really didn't require. So right now we're in our after show. I'm going to go ahead and start calling in these other folks. If my brother got anything else to say, he could text me or something because I know his phone had a lot of feedback, so I had to mute the brother's phone. So I do apologize, but I want to let him know what was going on. So I guess, let's see, what other callers do we have here in place? If he can, he's probably by his radio. That's probably what the issue is. So let me go ahead and play 757-553-46. You're on Black Power Radio. Okay, brother, you back on.
Peace, this is Brother Righteous.
All right, yes, sir. I had to mute your phone because you had a lot of feedback. At any rate, I'm going to call on the next caller. We got a lot of Virginia folk calling in. So we have 757-405. You're on Black Power Radio.
Peace, Black Power. You're talking to that one powerful warrior sister, Queen Sheba.
Queen Sheba. Oh, my goodness.
Yes, yes,
Queen
yes.
Sheba.
Only thing I want to say about is relationship is that if you pick a brother, make sure both of you are conscious. Make sure both of you are positive people because you don't need no negativity around each other. Just make sure you're very powerful and make sure that you are both on the same accord. That means whatever things that you like to do and whatever things he likes to do, both of y'all like to do them together. Both of y'all help each other. Both of y'all work together. In finance, in every way, you just work together.
That's peace.
Okay, Sister Sheba.
So that's the best
Go ahead, sis. Go ahead.
I said that's the best way that you can work a relationship is if you meditate together, you vibe the ancestors, make sure the ancestors, because we wouldn't be here well for the ancestors.
That's true.
Make sure you do everything together that makes you happy. He can help you with the housework, help you with the cooking. Whatever y'all do together, that will make a strong relationship. Because when two people do things together, they don't argue, and they all on one accord. That's what makes a powerful relationship. And when both of you are positive, both of you out there fighting for the people and working with the people and helping the youth, teaching our people where they come from and where they're going, there's no way nothing else can come between because both of y'all on one accord.
Mm-hmm. That's true. All right, Sister Queen Sheba. Whoa, that's powerful. We hearing from you straight and live.
That's
straight
right,
like that.
And that's the way you make a power relationship. You keep it on one accord.
That's right. All right, sis, I'm going to go ahead and continue listening to the show. Right now we're in our after show, Black Power Queen.
Peace. Black power.
All right.
Well, right now we're in our after show, so I guess if we could probably got at least, let me see how many more minutes, because, you know, they cut you off after so long. We got a little few more minutes, so we can go ahead and talk about. Now, sister, you said that we were going to also, because I know we dipping and dabbing these relationships, we're really getting into it, but I know we talked about homeschooling as well, so we definitely have to talk about that, sister. We can't just not do a show without talking about that. We talk about education.
Okay. Well, you know my concept. I think we need to separate the educators. I say it every week. And homeschooling, like I said, I do have one daughter right now that's in a homeschooling program, and I'm working to put my other children out, you know, one by one. But I think Sister Drea's on the line.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Sister Dre, I would like you to address the homeschooling.
As far as what I feel about homeschooling?
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's necessary. Even those who have their kids in public school, they need to still do excessive learning after school is over. So if you are in a situation mm-hmm. where you cannot homeschool your children, you need to still participate in some kind of home learning activity.
Okay,
I think homeschool is necessary. I also, you know, believe in home birthing your kids, having a midwife,
right.
So, you know,
right.
from birth up.
And I think I want to have one more baby just to birth my own.
I'm not going to do it myself. I have to have somebody do it for me.
But look, Sister Drea, so what do you think that we would need to do to actually start to initiate that within our nation, you know, the homeschooling, or, you know, how would we go about, or how do you think we should go about developing these programs?
It would be a start if the community could get together and do private programs for the neighborhood children within themselves. That would be a good way to start at a base and then branch out from there. Even if the children attend public school, to do after-school programs or weekend programs involving the neighborhood and take turns in teaching the kids would be a good way to start.
Okay.
Well, at the House of Consciousness, we have different programs that we do for the children, after-school programs. We also have different tutors that rotate their time in order to educate the children. But if the community could get more involved, we can definitely develop that into something where public school wouldn't be needed.
Okay, so great. Now, a lot of our listeners don't know what the House of Consciousness is. So would you like to explain to them?
Sure. Very, very short but sweet. The address is 600 West 35th Street in Norfolk, Virginia. It's called the House of Consciousness, and what it is a conscious book/community store. It's primarily a bookstore, but we also do classes there, shows, events, ciphers. All people from all different walks of life come there, conversate, and get knowledge.
And y'all serve good food there, because Sister Mira's been there. So
yeah, we got great meat.
Yes, ma'am, I had to throw it in there.
No doubt.
So let me ask you a question, because I know Sister Sylvia have a million, so I got to try to get mine in here.
No, that's right.
So my question to you is, I know I personally have taught a little bit of homeschooling when my children were a bit younger. And then also I've helped other mothers teach homeschooling, and I know that we had like a curriculum to follow. We had to do their minimum curriculum just in order to say that, you know, we're homeschooling, blah, 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 so they can be able to have a diploma from us or what have you to get it through state. But it's from the mothers, of course, from the homeschooling person. Anyway, they had a curriculum that we downloaded that they wanted us to go with our children. At the same time, we definitely went over our own programs, you know, that we wanted our children to learn, for example, African-centered studying and things like that, that we definitely empowered, you know, our families sister, do you have any other suggestions, realistic goals that, you know, we can also put into these homeschooling, like trades or something that we can, because, you know, for example, you know how the Chinese and every other nationality except for us, for some reason, I don't know what that's about, but we instill, other than becoming a basketball NFL player, NBA player, you know what I mean? We always kind of instill those ideals instead of, you know, sometimes it's not realistic, and why do we always have to be a hoe for the white man, you know what I mean? So with that said, it's just some type of other way that we can start trying to help our children to choose realistic trades that will definitely empower our community as well as themselves. Do you have any suggestions?
Well, yes. Children are bilingual in the sense that they are able to learn a multitude of things at one time. So if your child has to learn what the public school system is teaching them, that's not necessarily a problem, because behind that you can teach them our story and make them understand the dynamic of why there are two stories. And children are able to absorb that, just like they're able to absorb multiple languages at one time when they're young. So you can definitely teach them our story while they're learning what they want our story to be, or however they changed it or whatever. So children have the capacity to be expansive. On another note, in order for our children to want to be scholars instead of basketball players or what have you, we have to become scholars. So the more scholarly we become, the more they will become, because we have to make it cool to be smart, because society teaches you that it's cool to be stupid. So the minute that we reverse that as a community, our children will be better off.
Okay, let me ask the brother. Brother Righteous, I have the same question for you. I'm going to open up your mic. I hate to mute my brother's mic because I don't like muting my brother's, but I had to because your phone, you had a lot of feedback. So I'm going to open your mic up again, brother. It's 757-553. Go ahead, brother. Same question.
Actually, what was the question? Because I really wasn't paying too much attention.
Oh, my brother, I'm going to get you.
I heard an answer, but I wasn't really paying attention to the question.
Okay. Anyway, brother, we were talking about homeschooling and educating our children in the home.
Okay.
What is a way that we can definitely get our children to be more in tune with what we're trying to teach them on terms of being more realistic, like trades, as opposed to a basketball player or a rapper, because, you know, we got too many of them. We need less of them. We need more, like, doctors. We need more lawyers. We need more, you know what I mean? We need things that will empower our community. We need more bankers. We need more people, more entrepreneurs that's going to own banks so we can basically control our own community, because, again, we're talking about building our own nation. So anything that's going to help us to build a nation, I'm down for.
I'm very simple. Sometimes we need to just turn off the TV and talk to our children. And also take our children out and let them see different things instead of just seeing the same old neighborhood. Because I'll be honest with you, if a child stay in just their neighborhood or around the area in which they live all the time, it becomes quite depressing. Because a lot of times our neighborhoods is filled with drugs. It is filled with promiscuous activity and things in which, you know, we really don't want our children to grow up to be. So we got to just learn to talk to our children and to take them outside of the community and let them see that, you know, it's more to life than what they actually see day to day. I'm just simple like that.
No, brother, that's simple is beautiful. Simple is beautiful, brother. I must agree. Okay, yeah, we got a few more minutes left. I'm winding down this time because I know a lot of more. I know y'all want to say more stuff. So at this stage, I guess before we get cut off, if Sister Deidre, am I saying your name right? Sister Drea. I apologize. If you could go ahead and give us like a whole thing about what you think we need within our black community, if you can break down on whatever points you want to say, I need you to do that right now.
I feel like what we need in the black community is to heighten our worth. Once you feel like you're worth something, and once you really try to condition yourself to be free, truly free, then all of the rest of these issues will fall in place. We have the Willie Lynch syndrome. We have relationship problems. We have illegitimate children. We have all of these things because we don't feel like we're worthy. The minute you feel like you're worthy, your tolerance is lower for stupidity and ignorance. So more self-worth.
Okay, that sounds creative. That sounds righteous. By the way, it's going to be the same thing for you in a second, but what I want to do, if we can set this back up next month to have something like this again, and we can go more into depth, and we can definitely have tools for our people. That's why I say we can do it within a month's time. We'll have some tools for our people to be able to draw from, as opposed to us just telling them. You know what I mean? If we can get some tools for next month, can we all agree upon that?
Yes.
Yeah, sure can.
All right, brother. Now your last comment of the night.
Actually, I know Sister Drea, and me and her have plenty of conversations.
That's my dude.
Yeah, and I'm like this. Everybody use the word conscious.
Right.
Conscious, we as a community think that consciousness is in all. What we got to learn to is become civilized.
Mm.
Because even the Caucasian man is aware. He's aware of what
sure.
he's doing. But are you civilized is the problem. And another thing about the conscious community that we have a problem with is we wake up for one matrix to change beds to fall asleep in another one. What we do is we come out of religion and we then come into consciousness and fall asleep within the conscious bed also. You know, sometimes, I'm not saying to always do this, but if we disagree with a black scholar or whatever, you know, as long as you have the burden of proof and is able to show and prove that what you're saying that is right, challenge that thought, but don't just challenge that thought just to be doing it. But if you just think a little way different, you know, okay, I disagree with ex scholar or ex spiritual leader or teacher because, you know, I have this proof. Another thing as far as the black community, also what we need to do is what I'm pushing is the gender in which we need to come together and bring our scholars together in order to have a basic way of thinking. We should not be around here at different schools of thoughts within the conscious community debating whether slavery happened or not.
That's true.
And what happens with the European, he comes with a basic way of thinking. He said, like when he had the Nicene Council, he said, okay, there's these different groups in Christianity. So therefore, what we're going to do is we're going to come together and have a basic teaching of Christianity, meaning that you're not going to go below this standard of teaching. And that is what we need to do as the conscious community. Have a standard of teaching in which every group, no matter who that group is not going to go below that standard of teaching. We all came together, we all came to agree that this happened during this time period. Okay, we agree that this happened within our history. So therefore, we all going to teach that basic thing. And that is what we actually need within the black community, to stop all this bickering, arguing about little stupid things that happen in history. And once we do that, then I think that will eliminate a lot of our problems.
Well said, brother. Well said. Well said. Sister, come on. Come on, Sister Sylvia. I know you got a mouthful.
Okay, yeah. But before I get on to what I have to say, Brother Righteous, go ahead and give your information so if anyone listening, they want to catch up or get in touch with you. They know how to
come.
I'm sorry, Brother Righteous. I apologize.
Yeah. I actually got a music social website, translatesound.com. I would appreciate everybody that is listening. Join my website in order to build up my community base. And what I'm trying to do is I'm going after Facebook. You know what I'm saying? I'm going after MySpace. I'm going after. I want to be a brother.
I know that's right.
To have a site in which rivals their site, but also is black owned. Also, at the House of Consciousness, you know, that Dre owns, New Year's Eve, we plan on having a black conscious social. So everybody want to come out New Year's Eve, we having a conscious social. So I'm just promoting that in advance.
Brother Righteous, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Now, when I sat on here on this radio show and I asked you what was all your expertise, you didn't say none of this stuff about you being ready to be the next takeover Facebook person. How dare you come on Black Power Radio show and not say that up front?
See, that's that undercover thing I'm trying to do. You know what I'm saying? You can't always put it out there first, you know what I'm saying? You know, you do that at the end.
Okay, well, I will let you slide this time.
All right, but never translatesound.com. Thank y'all.
Thank you, brother. All right, well,
go ahead,
I'm going to go ahead and take over the floor. Now, I think we had an interesting discussion tonight, and I'm really happy to have learned how to respect and treat my black brother just a little bit better. Overall, I think that we have to have that ultimate level of understanding of one another and learn to love each other, because we basically have to love each other before we can raise into a nation. So I just say, everybody, take care of each other. Make sure you support each other. Support these black businesses. Every Friday is what I call Black Friday, is I go out and I just spend with black businesses. And if I can't spend with a black business, I don't go anywhere. And that's something I established for myself. So, and that's what we need to do to go ahead and build our nation. So all I have to say, and I'm going to end with this, love you, peace, and let's build a nation.
Sister, you forgot to give out your information for your organization.
I did I? Okay.
Yes, you did.
I just assumed everybody knew. But the organization is The Rose with Thorns in It. And if you would like to email, the email address is therosewiththornsinit@gmail.com. You can reach me at my email address, which is A Touch of Soul to Soul, ATOUCHOFSOULTOSOLE@gmail.com. And also you can reach me out at Facebook, and it's also A Touch of Soul to Soul. It's one word, just put in A Touch and I'll pop up. You'll see me up there.
All right, Sister Sylvia. All right, you have some great guests on tonight. Whoa, Sister Sylvia,
yes,
coming up.
Look, and I love them.
Exactly. Well, hey, that's all right here in Black Power Radio. We're touching on 10 points. At any rate, what I want to make sure that everybody knows, that if anybody wants to join the new Black Panther Party, the email address is mbpphq@yahoo.com. Also, for the National Day of Action at yahoo.com. You can join for the next day of action. We got the next day of action coming up. Also, to join the new Black Panther Party, text 502-299-8530. Make sure you
become a part of, be part of the solution as opposed to being part of the problem. We are trying to get 1 million members, as many as possible, not just on the level of the new Black Panther Party, but we're talking on the level of being a part of this Black nation, because we're talking about building the nation. We got to have so many more people that's going to be a part of, as opposed to a part of this system that is not welcoming us. So tune in next week, where we're going to have our sister on next week that's going to talk about what's going on in her situation with two of her loved ones in the concentration camps. So we're going to promote that again. You know, just remember in memory of Troy Davis, that really has to be discussed. We really have to get out there. We have to get our brothers and sisters out these concentration camps behind enemy lines. They have no love for us. We have to just, man, we have to raise revolution, and it's the only damn solution. If you're not down with that, then I don't know what to tell you. My philosophy is, some of us just not going to make it. So in order for us to make it, we got to stand strong, stand for Black Power. Thank you so much to our guests. I really appreciate you for joining us here on Black Power Radio. Please don't hesitate to call in when you have another shout-out, because you are very warm. So let's continue on. Same time next month, we're going to reconvene this, and we're going to have solutions for our people to actually have fulfilling relationships on the terms of schooling, education of our children, and on the terms of education of our male and female autonomy. So I want to end this with Black Power. Stay strong, and don't sell us out, Black Power.
Peace.
Peace. Peace.
Until the philosophy which hold one race superior and another.
Malcolm Garvey Huey.
Dedicated to all political prisoners.
Life was like a movie study. Malcolm Garvey Huey. Malcolm Garvey Huey.
Malcolm
Garvey Huey. Life was like a movie study. I die, I organize. Everything I do is revolutionize. I build what's good for the whole damn hood. Study G's like these really think you should. I study Malcolm Garvey Huey. Malcolm.